are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business. Joined, as always, by my faithful co-host, Nate the Professor Christian. Nate, you're looking very professorly this evening, like if you were teaching somewhere in Colorado.
Thank you. I got the flannel on. I got the LL Bean sweater over top. You know, it's that time of the year still. It's, you know, we had a lot of rain today, but it's still cold.
Yeah. Yeah, I would know because I sit in an office now. It's glorious. I was doing safety committee meeting stuff today.
Ooh. I sent you the picture. Yeah. It's crazy that you're in charge of that.
Yeah, I know. You want to talk about a company that's just going to be run straight into the ground. Let me run meetings. So, although I run meetings for this company here.
You do? Yeah, we do pretty well here.
Yeah, we're doing okay because we know what we should and shouldn't be doing for our organization. And now we're going to tell you what you should and shouldn't be doing right now in your Dynasty Fantasy Football League. Look, I'll be honest, the draft's coming up, but not every league is a hive of activity. I think we could agree to that, right, Nate?
Yeah, sure. Not all of them. But that's okay. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people complain, my league's inactive. Here's your chance to do something about it. Okay. And hey, no shame if you leave a league either. If it's not active for you, win the season and then join our Patreon, patreon.com/DynastyRewind. You can even come in for a free week, decide to stay, join some leagues with our awesome rewinders, maybe mm-hmm. even some crew members too. Zach is always down to join a league with you. And if you ask him and he says no, I will tell him to do it anyway. So Nate, we're going to talk some should and should nots. Let's start off with you today. What is your first talking point?
All right. So, number one, you should not trade because you're bored.
Boom.
This is the time of the year where you're looking at sleeper. You've looked at your team like a million times already since the Super Bowl, since the end of your fantasy season, whatever that was. And you've looked at it and you're like, okay, I'm just tired of these players. I want some new players. No, don't do that. Not unless you have a good reason to. Like, if you have a good reason to make a trade, sure. But don't trade because you're bored. I saw a tweet yesterday saying, I'm stuck between wanting to make a trade and loving the way my dynasty team looks right now. What? Like, oh, I already have, like, a really hot girlfriend, but I might want to trade her in for a different girlfriend. Like, what? Come on. You like your dynasty team, but you're itching to make a trade. That does not usually lead to good trades. It's not usually lead to good decisions. Patience is key. It is a long off season. There's still plenty of months between now and September. Like, if you think you're bored now, just wait till June, July. Okay. Yeah. You're going to be really bored then. Yeah. You'll have some new rookies to look at, I guess, but you'll still be bored. So if your team is already in a good spot, congratulations. You've done a great job to create a really good team. That doesn't mean that just because you're bored, you need to go mess it up. So have patience. You know, you don't always need to make a trade. This is why some of us get in multiple leagues so that, you know, if we have a team that we like, we can just leave it be and then go trade in other leagues where maybe we're rebuilding. Maybe that's what you need to do. But don't trade because you're bored. That does not usually lead to good decisions.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And look, if you're bored in June and July, join a C2C league. That's when a lot of the supplemental drafts are going on, or when the startups are going on, and the startups take a while. By the way, we still need one person for our C2C league, Nate, but I'm more interested in getting that going after we get the rookie draft.
Yes. We got to get through this first.
Yeah. There's more important things at work here. So for me, one thing that I'm doing right now is I'm making an honest assessment of where my team stands, not just on its own, but in the league. And it's important because, you know, hey, you could think your team is really good, but guess what? You don't play against yourself every week. There's 11 other opponents that you have to play against. So, you know, the draft's coming up. It's imperative to see where your holes and strengths are before the draft. Do you need more draft capital, Nate? Or do you have too much and not enough roster spots for all your picks? Sleeper has become quite the beast lately, by the way. Remember, I used to say, it's okay if you're over roster limits. Now it's making it harder to do anything. Hey, Sleeper, I wouldn't be over the roster limit if you'd let me put that freaking guy on the taxi squad like I want to. Then I won't have to drop anybody. That being said, just be honest with yourself and look, learn to let guys go that aren't going to be doing anything. I dropped a ton of quarterbacks the other day. guys that I picked up at the end of last season, wasn't even planning on starting them, but hey, one of those things where it can't be used against me. I'm in the playoffs. I grab this guy, then Nate can't start him against me in the divisional round or round two, whatever the hell you want to call it. What was I going to say? You know,
that's a good strategy.
If you have a lot of picks too, can you get a player that you like? Zach would tell you to get Jakobi Meyers. Apparently, I slandered Jakobi Meyers on a last podcast. I don't even remember what I said. Sorry.
I was talking him up, so I don't know what you said either, but not me.
Sorry, Jakobi Meyers. I guess. I don't know. And hey, another thing to do, if you're not sure what to do, payhip.com/DynastyRewind. Get your roster reviewed. Right now, me and Bob are the guys that are doing it, but Nate got one done last week as well. So
I had my mic off the first time I recorded it, but I did it the second time and it was pretty good.
That's the thing that stinks about recording by yourself is you have those little mishaps that happens. So Nate, what is your next talking point?
All right. My next should is you should prepare for the draft to screw up some of your favorite players. The NFL draft is going to mess with some of your favorite players. You probably have a running back right now that you're like, hey, this is my running back too going into the season. And then they're going to draft a running back in the second round and totally screw up what your plans were. So right now, you should be preparing for things to go the way you don't expect. You have to expect the unexpected. There's going to be change. Zach Moss and Chase Brown right now seems like a very solid 1-2 punch over in Cincinnati. Seems pretty set in stone. But what if the Bengals draft somebody day two? What if they draft somebody early day three? That backfield might get pretty muddy, and you might not be able to rely on Zach Moss or Chase Brown to be your RB3, let's say, or someone like in your flex spot. These RBs that we have in this class, while we don't have the top talents, there's a lot of running backs that I think will still be drafted. There's still some good talents here, and they have to go somewhere. There's only so many open backfields in the NFL. Otherwise, a lot of these guys that we like are going to be going somewhere else to compete with guys that we also like. So especially at the running back position, you know, this does happen in the tight end position, the wide receiver position. But most of the time, we see this happening with the running back position. So when you're going into the draft in the time before the draft, I like to avoid risky backfields where there's just unknown because it might get all messed up in the draft. Like, I'm not worried about Derrick Henry for the Ravens. I'm not worried about Jonathan Taylor for the Colts going into the draft. They're going to be okay for this year. But guys like Chase Brown, like Zach Moss, maybe like Chuba Hubbard,
Rico Dowdle
over in Dallas. You know, as much as I like him, he's probably not going to be the RB1 going into the season. When you're going and acquiring running backs before the draft, keep that in mind. And also keep it in mind that your running back, you know, that you're going after right now, if he makes it through the draft unscathed, he's probably going to have similar value. It's not like people are looking at these guys right now and taking that into account most of the time. They're looking at it and they're like, hey, this guy's the RB1 on the depth chart. That's his value. And if he gets to the draft and still the RB1 on the depth chart, his value is probably going to stay the same. It's probably not going to go that much higher. So a lot of these cases with these unknown running backs heading into the draft, you only really have the opportunity to either just hold even on value or lose out.
Ladies and gentlemen, not only do I agree with Nate, but my next talking point, Dynasty Fantasy Football, it is a business. Treat it as such. Do not move players for less than their value because you have an abundance at the position.
Yep.
I myself have been guilty of this in the past. In a league with a friend of mine, like, oh, hey, I got 4 starting quarterbacks here. So you take a lesser deal than you should have. Kick yourself in the rear end for it later. Don't do that. You know, one of the things that I learned from starting this business, and I've actually applied playing fantasy football. So I'd always try to hook my friends up and give them free stuff. Can't do that anymore because it's too hard for me to figure out and I don't have the effort to do it. But a good friend of mine, Shane Manila, made a good point. He said, if they're your friends and you like them, they should pay and they should support you. Same thing applies to trading. No breaks to anybody. Okay, now within reason, of course, but still, don't sell cheaply just because you have a lot of players at one position. And we've seen it too. The NFL is caring less and less about player safety. Don't tell me otherwise, Roger Goodell. Stop scheduling things 3 time zones away and then, oh, hey, come back and play a game next weekend. Mm-hmm. Stop it. You don't care. You care about money, and that's it. You're greedy. give me some money because I'm greedy too. But every position at some point becomes that of scarcity because of so many injuries. We saw quarterback last year, running back every single season. Wide receiver and tight end is held up a little bit better than those two, but quarterback and running back especially. So don't devalue your roster by selling guys cheaper just because you have a lot of them. Nate, back to you. I love your next point, by the way.
All right. Look, don't box yourself into fantasy football Twitter or media or whatever you consume. Like,
hey, Dove Kleinman.
Oh, man. Just mute that guy.
But just mute him.
Did that a while ago.
Yeah, me too.
We love the fantasy community. There's a lot of really good analysts in this community. There's a lot of really good resources. And I love what the fantasy football community has become. It is a great resource. And you should absolutely be a part of it, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on here on YouTube or a podcast or wherever you are.
Reddit. But
don't, yeah. Or Facebook, you know, there's, I don't know about Facebook though. It seems
there, no, there's fantasy groups on Facebook too.
Yeah. So that's good. You should be using those resources, but don't box yourself into just the fantasy football resources, because we do sometimes become an echo chamber and we have our biases because we play fantasy football. And sometimes you need to take an outside look and look at the NFL media that doesn't care about fantasy football. Now, that's hard to find these days because a lot of the NFL has become integrated with fantasy football. So especially now when we're talking about the NFL draft, take another step back and go to college football. Let's go to the college football guys who don't care at all about NFL fantasy football. They don't even care about the NFL at all. They are college football diehards, and that's all they care about. Go see what they're saying about these players. They've been watching these players for 4 or 5 years. They were looking at them as recruits coming out of high school. That is all relevant knowledge. And I think, you know, we all have our opinions of these players. And when you go into the college football landscape, they've seen these guys play on the field more than we have. They've seen them in the big moments and when it matters, not just looking back at the film and seeing what happens, but in the moment. And I think you got to take into account what they're saying. I like Josh Pate a lot. He's one of my favorite college football guys, but there's a lot of really good college football guys out there. And, you know, I've seen some people in the fantasy community be like, oh, where'd JJ McCarthy come from? I watched a lot of college football and no one thought about him as a good draft pick. People have been talking about JJ McCarthy as one of the top college quarterbacks for a long time now. And even projecting him, college football guys projecting him as a first round pick, because they know that JJ McCarthy is not just some bozo who's a third round pick. They were ahead of the game. You can get ahead of the game by keeping your ears outside just the fantasy football community, making sure that you're getting a holistic viewpoint of these players.
I love that. And I do want to say, kind of toot my own horn here too, I am not an echo chamber guy. I do not come out. If I agree with an opinion, I will agree with it on my own accord. But I like a player. I like him. I don't. And it's that easy. So hate me if you want. But that's just me being me. All right, Nate. Let's get to my next talking point. You should be doing some scouting of your own and participating in mock drafts. This kind of piggybacks off what you were saying a little bit, because, you know, we do get echo chambery. We do get prospect fatigue. So sit your butt down in front of your beautiful computer setup, or hey, got YouTube on your phone too. You know, look at some cutups, right? Go on, I'll give you an example here. Trying to decide between Trey Benson or Jalen Wright. Go on there, type in Trey Benson verse Jalen Wright verse, and they give you some nice cut-ups, and you know you'll be able to see what's going on. Now, if it's a player who's a little bit lesser known, like Rasheen Ali, they're going to find so many cut-ups for him. You will have to go to like Marshall offense verse, and you're going to have to go through. But a running back typically on the field a lot too. That works well with quarterbacks as well. And I'm going to give you some really good examples here of how I kind of got into scouting a little bit. Wise, help me. Harken back to the days of 2019. Oof. Remember a guy named N'Keal Harry? Everyone was talking about how great he was. Some people are having PTSD right now, so lower your volume for a little bit. I ended up avoiding him because I liked his teammate Brandon Ayuk better. I drafted somebody else, and I waited a year for Brandon Ayuk. And in the same year, people were all in on DK Metcalf, rightfully so, as it turned out. But I liked A.J. Brown's tape better. This also helped me start my podcast and scouting career, if you will, looking at these guys' tape and stuff like that. And I could kind of see at the time, too, looking back at scouting, Hakeem Butler ain't it. So yeah. It's one of those things where you can listen to me, you can listen to Nate. You should, because Nate and I are very smart. Well, Nate is. I'm just good at talking. But, you know, get some eyes on guys yourself. And look, again, hop on into Patreon. Have a discussion with us. Say, hey, what do you see about this guy? I don't see it, but I see this. We'll gladly talk to you anytime. So, Nate, what is your next talking point?
All right, my next one. I think I've mentioned this one before. In the offseason, you still need to fill your lineup. Slowly, don't rush it, but you still want to fill up your lineup. Not needing a position, especially going into the draft, but just always, because you're going to have people coming at you predatorily and be like, oh, I see that you need a running back. Well, how about you trade me this wide receiver that you really like for this running back?
I hate that. I hate that so much.
I want the flexibility of, hey, I've kind of already filled up my lineup to a point. You know, maybe I don't love my RB2. That's fine. But at least I feel comfortable with my lineup right now. And that gives me flexibility with my trades, gives me flexibility in the draft. If I don't feel like I have to pick up a certain player in the draft, I don't have to be looking at a really good wide receiver on the board and say, well, I really need an RB2, so I'm going to reach for this running back here. You know, maybe you're good enough to, you know, keep that in mind and not make that mistake. But if you're constantly looking at your lineup and you see that you have a hole somewhere, it's going to get to you. And it might end up influencing your decision. So if you can fill out your running back position, your wide receiver position, your tight end position, your all your lineup positions, and feel good about it going into the draft, it just gives you the flexibility to pick the best player available, to move around the board if you need to find better value. And, you know, you don't need two stud running backs right now, but if you have a really good RB1 right now and then like a decent RB2, like I said, that just gives you the flexibility to do whatever you need to do to make your team better. Because you don't have to set the lineup right now, but you still want to make sure that you have, you know, a rounded lineup, because who knows how many trades you'll get to make between now and the season. Who knows what opportunities you'll have. You want to make sure that you're always prepared.
Yeah, hey, I've noticed you don't have an RB7, but I could really use Brandon Ayuk, so let's make a deal. One thing you should also not do is don't be cocky and think that joining more leagues is going to equal more winnings, because all it equals is much more work. And more lineups is not fun, especially in week one. That's the worst week, by the way. It can make you resent the game. Did it to me. I was in almost 30 dynasty leagues at one point in time. Mike. Yes, I know. Because you know what? Part of the problem is something I'm working on in my personal life as well. I have a hard time setting boundaries and saying no. It's been much better for me, though. It makes you resent it. Setting lineups becomes a chore, and I wasn't a fan. I'm down to like 11 or 12 leagues now, and when leagues fold, I just go, oh, boo-hoo. Oh, no. So, also, no shame in leaving league. No, you do not have to find a replacement. And just so you know, sure. Yep. No, you don't have to. That's a management issue, not a staffing issue. Staffing is done by management. And just like when you call out a set of sick at work, no. You do not have to find someone to cover your shift or anything like that. Again, a management issue, commissioner issue, if you will. I've been cutting back to only leagues that I enjoy, starting leagues that only I enjoy, C2C leagues. No, I do not want to be in your 10-team standard scoring dynasty league on CBS. Thank you for thinking of me. No, I do not want that. But I've been cutting back. It's been a massive blessing. I've been minimalizing things in my personal life as well. I got out of all share groups on Twitter because I was just promoting other people's content all the time, and not everybody was promoting mine in the share group. Deleting apps off my phone. I'm honing in. I'm focused to try to help you guys. I'm focusing on this, my part-time job, if you will. So I find the more I focus in, the more fun I have. I actually win more now by having less leagues because I put more effort into what I do have. So...
You only have so much effort you can put into fantasy football at the end of the day. Otherwise, you will get burned out. So if you look at that effort as like a piece of pizza, the more slices you have, the less production and effectiveness you're going to have. If you cut that down to 8 slices, 10 slices, it's going to be a lot better.
One thing I do want to kind of piggyback off this, if your league's league safe is open, pay your league fees now. Don't make your commissioner chase you for it.
Get it done.
Not cool. So, Nate, your next talking point is?
All right. You should not be boxing yourself or pigeonholing yourself into picks before the draft even happens.
I love that.
I see so many people say, well, at the 103, I'm definitely picking up Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you shouldn't do that. Or like, hey, at the 105, I'm definitely picking up this player. Okay, well, if you like that player, that's great. But you should either move down the board, move around the board to better value, or, you know, at least be open to other decisions. Don't look at a single player. And I know there's players that we like. There's players I like more than other players, just, you know, from an emotional standpoint, investment standpoint. But I try to be objective, especially when playing fantasy football, because as much as I might care about a certain player, that doesn't change the fact of how good they're going to be or, you know, how bad they might be. My emotional investment does not have any impact on the NFL or my dynasty team. So you should listen to the NFL when it gives us draft capital, when it gives us the situation that these players involve into. And then from there, you can make an informed decision. Don't blindly just say, hey, I like this player. I watched his highlight tape. He seems like he's going to be a beast. And then no matter what happens, you're going to pick him up. That just is not a winning strategy at the end of the day. You need to be flexible. You need to be open to other things. And if you still really want that player and the value just isn't at the pick, find a way to move down. Find a way to get that player at a better value or a value that is at least, you know, practical. So this is something I think a lot of people need to hear because we do get excited about players. There are players that excite us more than other players, and we want to have a piece of them. We want to draft them because it just feels better to have a player that we drafted be on our team than a player that we had to end up trading for. And a lot of times that comes down to value because you want to draft him before he's too valuable that you can't trade for him. But you need to be flexible. You need to be open. Be willing to change what you're really excited to do.
Yeah, they're great. I love that. So one thing, my last talking point, I'm going to knock on some doors for aging players. Mentioned it in the last pod. Every seller needs a buyer. The buyer's going to be me. Guys like Tyler Lockett, Terry McLaurin might be aging, and they're not the sexiest player, but they have solid roles on their teams, and they're going to help a contending team have a push, and they're cheaper than other players are right now. One good example of that is, remember before last season, I said, go get Adam Thielen for a fourth round pick, and people LOL'd at me, Nate.
I did.
You did?
To be honest.
What did Adam Thielen do?
He did really, really well. And I believe you probably could have flipped him for a pretty good pick by like week six.
You could have, yeah. There was times where I saw him going for like second round picks, stuff like that. Yeah. Now, there might have been circumstances where you had to start him. I'm looking to see where Adam Thielen finished last year.
I feel like he's got to at least be a top 20 wide receiver with his start to the year.
You would be incorrect. So I had it up. He actually finished as wide receiver 30 last year. However, he still had 103 catches for 1,014 yards and 4 touchdowns.
So 10 yards per catch. That's pretty tough.
9.8 specifically, but that offense wasn't that great. That being said, there was that period in time where he was really racking up the points for you. So, you know, these are guys that I love to see. Cooper Kupp is a guy that you can probably get a little cheaper right now than what you normally have been able to, getting older, coming off an injury. The emergence of Puka Nacua tells me I want more Cooper Kupp on my rosters. That's what that tells me. But don't buy Kadarius Toney, whatever you do. Just don't do that.
Yeah, Mike, I just looked it up. And from week one to week six, when I said you probably could get a nice pick for Adam Thielen, Adam Thielen was the wide receiver 3 through the first 6 weeks of the NFL season, averaging 21.1 points per game.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So that's going to wrap it up for us. So I want to say thank you again to everyone for listening. Until next time, for Nate, I'm Mike. We'll see you then. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code Rewind, a 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals, everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.